Hebrews chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted of the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. The land that drinks off the rain often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it was farmed, receive a blessing from God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and your love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. But do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what was promised. Do you get as sick as I do of the days in which we live, of the yes, but? Of the yes, but. Yeah, how was such and such? Oh, it was good, but. Oh, I talked to so-and-so, how's he doing? Well, he's doing okay. Oh, did you check out this college or this church or this? How was it? Oh, it was good, but. Do you get as sick of the but? And today I want to focus on this hope that is given in the midst of the warnings in Hebrews. And it's found in verse 9. Because our lives should be a yes and yes. Notice what he says. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case. Things that accompany salvation. There are 6 warning passages in the book of Hebrews. 6 times God gives very firm warnings. We have looked at those for those of you who came out to the series we did during the summer and spring of some of the messages from Heart Cry. Richard Owen Roberts did such a powerful time of going through those 6 passages. But there are 3 times in there that the writer of Hebrews affirms in the midst of those that this doesn't apply to those who are walking in Christ. He says here, we are confident of better things. We are confident of better things. Look with me at chapter 10. A prolonged passage of warning. It begins in verse 26. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. And it goes down through. But notice how it ends in verse 29. But we are not. we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. We are not of those who shrink back. Yes, there are those who make a profession, who start, who don't go very far, who look for a little while. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. But of those who believe and are, not were. Notice it's not past. Oh, I was saved. Oh, that's bad. But are saved. And then the third time in chapter 12. In chapter 12. Beginning at verse 25, we have another one of these powerful warnings. It actually had begun up in verse 14. But picking it up in verse 25, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, we looked at some of those when we looked at spiritual leadership. Remember Korah, Dathan, and Abiram? They refused Moses, and what was the outcome of that? And we could go through the entire Old Testament. Remember those kids that just came out and laughed at Elisha? Ah, you bald-headed, ah! And a bear came out and gobbled him up. God hasn't changed. God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, if they did not escape when they refused him who warned on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, so that is created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. What a warning. If you can be shaken, you won't remain. But notice what he says in verse 28. Since then, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, we're receiving it. It's coming. And three times in these warning passages, the writer of Hebrews says, yes, there are fearful warnings. But there are also great promises. And God's promise to us, if we believe, is yes and yes. Not yes and maybe. Not yes and no. Not yes and okay. Not yes and Yes and yes. Why is it? Why is it that the writer of Hebrews could have such hope for those who were reading? In a day when so many were falling away, in a day when God's message was to send six warnings, when God was saying, you can drift, you can deny, you can be lazy, you can be shaken, and it's bad. Why was he able to give such hope? That hope is founded in the gospel and the power of it. And we must constantly come back to not us, but the power of the gospel. Notice what Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And let's just take a few minutes and look with some specificity at this verse that so many of us may have memorized. And if you haven't, you need to put that on your memory list, because you ought to know this verse. And you know, I hope that you take seriously, the Bible commands memorizing God's word. And there is no other possible way. Yeah, you can have your PDA and your palm whatever, and your I this and E that and X, Y, Z something else. But there is only one way that the word of God can always be with you. And that is to memorize it. And I know that in the youngest Sunday school class, they've begun teaching the kids to memorize scripture. And if you are not in the habit of routinely memorizing scripture, if you don't have 100 or 200 or 300 verses that you could say off the top of your head, start working at it. And you say, oh, it's hard for me to memorize. Of course it is. And the older you get, the harder it gets. Where does God ever say if it's easy, do it, and if it's hard, leave it undone? That's why the Bible says strive diligently to present yourself as one approved. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul writes, and here's what he says. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I believe that that is not true today in America. I believe that that may not entirely be true in our lives right here. If we were not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we wouldn't come up with all these other plans to bring people to salvation. If we were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, we would not hold back from telling those around us. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, and then for the Gentiles. Why does Paul have this expectation? Why does Paul say that the gospel is so important? First of all, he says it because he says it is the power of God. And that's why the gospel is so universal. If it was the power of human ingenuity, that wears out over time. What was a great idea 100 years ago is now old and dated. What was the newest, the greatest? Kids now look at that and go, they actually did that? Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. We've looked at this verse before, but we need to have it driven into our subconscious. Now, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. You know, our imagination is so small sometimes. I was talking with some folks about witnessing, and they said, well, you know, but all we're supposed to do is plant. The rest is up to God, yes. But any kind of planting doesn't do. We have to plant in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you can't have faith if you don't believe that the gospel is powerful and is going to save those that hear. Not all of them, but some of them. You see, you cannot believe in Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask. We sometimes act as though God is able to do about half what we ask and a quarter of what we imagine, and that's on a good day. And we don't have a concept. We have a God that's 6 inches taller than we are, and he struggles. And you know, the day and the attitude and the people and the situations, and that's not the defining issue. And Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God. He says, I don't have to talk about the culture, the situation, the people, the forces arrayed against the devil, the demons. I don't have to think about that, because I believe in the one who is the power of God. And he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Now, that's one thing. You know, there is this kind of disembodied faith. It's the faith that says, well, I know God could. It's this theoretical faith that, yeah, there's a God up there someplace, and in some theoretical universe, I'm sure that he has the ability to theoretically do this if he wanted to somehow. But that's not faith, because notice what he says, according to his power, that is at work within us. It's not up there in heaven. It's not out there beyond Alpha Centauri. It's not in some galaxy far, far away. He says God's power is at work in those who believe. Do you know in Romans chapter 1 verse 16... We don't, you know, get into the Greek an awful lot, but it's informative here. Do you know what the word in Romans 1:16 for power is? I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the, and you might want to write this down. The Greek word is dunamis. 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 It's where you get the English word dynamo, dynamite. It means uncontrollable, explosive, unequaled, uncontained power. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And that's the second thing. It'll work in anyone. We often have this attitude that the gospel won't work in him or her or me. I can't be free. I guess I'll just have to live with what I'm going through. I can't expect better. I know I'm struggling, but you know, it's the best. That is not faith. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the very power of God for everyone who believes. Not for good people who believe. Not for people who haven't gone too far. Isn't it amazing? We were sharing during testimony time about, or the report from convention about a secular Los Angeles Times reporter who said, you know, the only hope to really get rid of the hatred in Los Angeles is churches like this, where it's not just we'll come together to tolerate one another, but where people of color, white people, rich people, poor people, every diversity, people from different backgrounds, different nations, can come together and choose to be part of one body. You see, that's what heaven's all about. The gospel is so powerful. That's why the writer of Hebrews can say, I expect better. Not because of you, not because of your ability, not because of me, not because of my ability, not because of your desire, not because you've got some gene in you that's different from everybody else and you're going to make it and they won't. Not because of anything in us. It is because I believe in the powerful gospel. There are people that say, oh, I'm too bad. So what you're saying is your power to sin is greater than God's power to save. Almighty you. You see, that's what you're saying. When you say, I can't be free of this sin. When you say, I can't have victory. What you are saying is, Almighty me is more powerful than Almighty him. Because my power to sin is greater than his power to save. Isn't that true? No, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God. It'll save to the uttermost. And then he goes on, verse 17, for in the gospel, why is the gospel so powerful? For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. Now see, if that wasn't there, we'd all be hurting. There would be no way that the writer of Hebrews could say, I expect better things from you. Because if the righteousness was from us, if God was, okay, I'll stand you up and brush you off and you do it, the writer of Hebrews would say, we're doomed. We don't have a prayer. We don't have a hope. But he says, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. I want you to think about this. That righteousness is not some theoretical thing. We have so many people that say, I'm a Christian. God saved me, I've been forgiven of my sin, I have the righteousness of Christ, and it's some theoretical thing locked away in heaven. That's not saying it's a righteousness from God that's from first to last. You see, it started in the very nature of God. God's righteousness is the center of who He is. That's why the angels cry over and over and over again. Holy, holy, holy. And that righteousness came in Christ. And that's why John could write and say, we have beheld His glory. See, here's where the power of the gospel is. It's not that God is righteous. It's not that Christ was righteous. It's that He gives me His righteousness. Look at the word that Paul uses over in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked. Notice where he starts. God always starts in the exact same place. He starts with... He starts with the wicked. That's you. That's me. God doesn't say, oh, you're a good person. You grew up in church. God doesn't say you went to Sunday school and you had a perfect attendance pin this long. God says, I start with the wicked, not the almost good, not the sort of okay. He says, I see the inside of your heart. I know that many of the wicked things you would do, you just can't do, but if you could get away with it, you'd do them too. I see what's inside of you, and I justify the wicked. His faith is credited. And I love that word, credited. Didn't earn it. Just all of a sudden, I go to the bank, and my bank account is overflowing. I said, how did that happen? And they said, well, your bank account was just credited with $10 million. Well, I didn't earn it. We didn't say you did. It was just credited. It was put in. But not credited with money. See, that's a banking term. Not credited with money, credited with righteousness. You see, if the Bible said, for in the gospel, Romans 1:17, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that begins by faith, we wouldn't have any hope. But see, it's by faith from first to last. So God's power is always enough. It's enough in the beginning. It's enough at the ending. It's enough when we start. It's enough when we finish. It's enough for everything in between. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, but I'm convinced, I'm confident of better things. He says, I don't know about you as people. I don't really care where you came from or what you have, what baggage you dragged along behind you. I don't care what mud you went through. I don't care what brought you to this place. He says, none of that matters. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. And because ultimately the power of God is what saves, rather than my goodness, my effort, oh, do you see how that changes evangelism? When I really believe the gospel is the power of God, that it will break through people's defenses, that it will shatter hardened hearts, that it will break through sinful lives, that it will open blind eyes, I don't have to sing 800 verses of Just As I Am to try to haul somebody against their will. I don't have to... With every head bowed and every... I can expect that God will work, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I can expect in my life. Do you expect that your life is going to be more holy this week than last week? this month than last month, this year than last year, this decade than last decade? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. What can you say against that? Well, you know, there's a lot of demons out there. Woohoo! Yeah, okay. 10,000 demons, the power of God. Ooh, there's a tough choice. Oh, you don't know the depth of my heart. You don't know my temptations. You don't know what I've seen, what I've gone through, what I have inside of me. Okay, are you in Christ? Then do you know what you have inside of you? According to His mighty power that works within us? It is time that by God's grace, we were yes and yes. But we come, like the writer of Hebrews, to all those warnings and we go, yeah, there are fearful warnings. But we say, in the end, I'm confident of better. Because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. It is the power of God that will deliver me from sin's penalty. It is the power of God that will deliver me from sin's power, and sin will not dominate my life. It is the power of God, and it will deliver me into an eternal place where sin will no longer be present. And the power of God will do it from first to last. Now the question becomes, you see, this is where the rubber hits the road. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God for salvation. Here's the one thing to everyone who believes. So what are you going to believe? Are you going to believe in the power? Are you going to believe what God says or what you see today with your eyes? Are you going to say, well, you know, that's not what I see? That's why the Bible ends this by saying, just as it is written, the righteous will live by what they see. The righteous will live by what they've experienced. The righteous will live by what they think can or will or won't happen. The righteous will live by faith. Will you believe God? Let's bow together. Oh God. In days like this, we need to come back as the Apostle Paul did. In a day when the society was corrupt, the government was evil, the people were deluded by 1,000 different cults and isms and schisms, when there was a surface tolerance of religion without a true acceptance of the truth. Oh Lord, in those days when Paul lived, as in today, there was only one way to live. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. for it is the power of God. O Lord, I pray that we would believe you, and that that salvation that comes from your power, that righteousness that flows from that faith, would envelop us from first to last. In Jesus' name, amen.